We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN talking Riley County stuff today. We've got Riley County Commissioner Greg McKinley and Public Information Officer Alice Massimi joining us here via Zoom. It looks like we have a caller on the line with a question or comment. Let's go ahead and get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Bring us up to date on this Christian church that we own over next to the courthouse in location next to the district court and the municipal court for use with the police department, bringing our Cat 6 for intra communications and having a Pawnee people in there that could lower the intensity of the police interactions and maybe put in an automatic download of the body cams whenever anybody comes into the building. Thank you for your efforts.
All right, Greg, a question about the former First Christian Church. I know you guys talked about that a little yesterday.
Yeah, I got a chance to go through it last week to see, you know, what condition it is in and stuff. And, you know, there's been talk of whether to try to use it. It is rather cut up where the different additions have been put on different levels. I'm sure it worked for them, but for a county office, it really doesn't lay out that well. It would take a lot of work to try to rearrange it to make it more useful. And I think that's the intention. There was some talk, somebody talked about, well, temporarily moving people in there. But even that, there'd be a lot of work because the heating and plumbing and stuff are not functional right now. It'd take a lot of work just to do something temporary. And when we do something, sometimes you do something temporary, it ends up just hanging on. And we want to, we're still working on that to find out for sure what we're going to do with it. But right now, that doesn't seem to be an option to try to even use it temporarily for stuff.
The building has a lot of challenges from what I've gathered. I think it was John Ford that was saying that IT is a little bit hard to set up in there. It's not really designed for that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, probably. I mean, and a lot of the electrical systems have been disconnected. You know, basically you'd have to start with just the shell of it. But even then, it's got a bunch of different levels. And there's half levels, different places. I'm sure it's because as they added on different times, that it just it doesn't look like it'd be too easy to make it work.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks for the question there. And again, we'll take further calls here, 785-537-1350. We're going to talk a little bit about COVID and the vaccines that are rolling out here. I understand the vaccines have been coming quite frequently here into the counties, and I know we're starting to get more doses each week. And how is that process going here right now, Greg?
It seems to be going pretty well. Like I said, they are getting more doses. Part of the problem of trying to plan ahead, you don't know the distribution from the state is still, they're still working on it like everybody else. And they don't always know ahead of time what all is coming and when it's coming, but they have in the last week gotten doses. And I know this week or last week, they did where they took the home delivery, I guess you'd call it, for the people who were homebound. They went out and went to their homes to give them their vaccines, which I thought was, you know, a great effort on their part. And I know the testing, because testing was in kind of those in an open building, so they can't, in this weather, they're not going to be doing that. They're working on another location to get it ready to do that. Those plans still aren't finalized. And they have gotten some doses in. They're supposed to be used for the second doses for the people that got the first ones earlier. And part of that is they will want to make sure everybody knew that the county, the health department will be contacting you to set up a time. You don't need to call in. They've got the list and what order people came in to get their first shot. And they'll go through that list to get time set up for you to come back in to get the second one.
You know, I think that's definitely worth reiterating here, because at the radio station, we've been getting some calls from concerned citizens that are older, and they're curious, and I just think making sure that they're aware that those vaccine clinics, it's the Riley County Health Department notifying them, and they will let you know when to go in and when your appointment is going to be. And Alice, I know you've been kind of working on streamlining that communication as best as you can.
Yeah, I've been spending my evenings answering Facebook questions and trying to answer as many comments that people leave on our page. And I would also encourage people, if they have questions, on RileyCountyKS.gov, underneath our coronavirus tab, there is a section called Frequently Asked Questions. And we've tried to provide a lot of the answers to the most commonly asked questions. And I'm working on a section right now just for those second boosters, just to reiterate that we will contact you for when that window opens up for you to come get that second dose.
All right. And the process continues in phase two right now. How far along are we on the vaccine process?
So we're still in phase two, and we had decided in Riley County to prioritize those 65 and older, especially those with severe health conditions first. And we're hoping at the very end of this week, beginning of next week, to move to those 65 and older without severe health conditions. And then phase two also includes K through 12, so that we can get those teachers vaccinated and those working in childcare facilities. And then phase two also includes homeless shelters and other social service providers.
All right, good to know, because my wife works in education, and she's been asking me, well, when do teachers get to go and have their opportunity? And I said, I think it's coming. I just don't know exactly when.
Right, and so we would encourage teachers to get with the administration within their school district, because a lot of the school districts are providing us lists. So I know we've gotten a couple emails saying, I'm a teacher, you know, how do I let you know that? And the best thing to do is to just reach out to the administration at your school and, you know, let them know that you want a vaccine and make sure that you're on that list.
All right. And I might ask Greg this question. We saw in the press release yesterday that in the coming weeks, Riley County could possibly start looking at lifting some COVID restrictions here if the numbers continue to improve. And I'm curious, have you guys started discussions on that yet, or what might that look like going forward?
And there's I can't remember what the committee is. It's working on those. I'm not on that. I think John Ford is. And I know in talking to Julie Gibbs last week, she had said that the numbers were improving and they were hoping to start this week having meetings to see what different accommodations could be made to ease some of the restrictions. I don't know. I'm not privy to know. I don't know exactly which things they're trying to work on right now, though.
Well, it's certainly encouraging anytime we hear that communicated, because it's been so long that we've been in some of these restrictions. I think we're in local health order, 19 or something like that right now, and that's been in place for quite some time. I think people are encouraged to hear that, hey, maybe there's some a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I met with the Aggieville director yesterday, and he was pushing that too, that we need to ease up some of them because of, you know, the cases with the vaccines going out and the cases going down, that they're hoping some things would change.
I think, Brendan, that's something that the EOC, which I'm a member of, we discussed yesterday, but we need to see a couple more weeks of this downward trend. You know, last week we only had, I believe it was 15 or 18 positive cases, but we're up to 23 this week. So we just, you know, encourage people, if you want us to relax some of those restrictions, to continue practicing social distance, to continue wearing your mask, continue small gatherings. Unfortunately, we're still getting lots of reports of college students specifically in bars without masks on and not following restrictions. And so that's not going to help us relax those restrictions, because that could lead to an increase in cases. So we still need people to just stick with us, know that we, you know, we understand their frustration. We want to lift those restrictions also, but we just have to make sure that, you know, we're at a spot that we won't see a dramatic rise in cases if we do that.
All right. Very good. We have a caller here on the line has a question. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yes, I had a question. I had a saliva COVID test taken December, and I was curious about the DNA markers that are collected. What is the chain of custody after the tests are done? Are they destroyed, or is that information stored?
Greg, I know I don't know the answer to that, but I could, if Brendan wanted to take down your information, I could get, I could find out from the health department an answer to that question for you, unless Greg knows the answer.
I sure don't.
Okay. Yeah, but if you wanted to give Brendan your information, or if you wanted to email vaccine@rileycountyks.gov, and I can forward your question on to the health department, and we can get you an answer.
Okay, I'll get in touch with Greg, or I can my information off air.
Okay.
Sounds great.
I'll have Dave grab you real quick here, and then we're gonna take a break here and continue our show here in just a moment. Okay. Well, we have another call first, and then we'll take a break. So let's get to the next call. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. My question has to do with the fact that while it's great to see our positivity rate go down, it also appears that the number of COVID tests that are being done has also decreased over the past month or so. So a 6% positivity rate on 100 people taking a test is much different than a 6% positivity rate on 1,000 people taking a test. So how are you looking at the positivity rate? What other factors are you looking at besides hospitalization and positivity rates, just based on the number of people that are being tested?
I think that's a great point, and something that we've also noticed too. Less people are showing up to get tested. And I don't know if that's because less people are having symptoms or less people just are saying, I've got COVID, I'm just going to stay at home. But one of the other things that we are looking at, in addition to the hospitalization rate, as you had mentioned, is the number of vaccinations. So if we are able to get more people vaccinated, we're looking at that because, of course, those people are building up their immunity. And so as we continue to vaccinate people, get those vaccines in the arms, that's also a contributing factor to our decisions.
All right.
Well, and then my final comment related to that is right now you're vaccinating primarily older adults, and older adults are not the ones that are in Aggieville. So lifting restrictions in Aggieville in response to the fact that older adults are being vaccinated seems kind of doesn't make sense to me. So,
well, I understand that, and I would say they're not the ones that are spreading it, but they are the ones that if they get it, they're the ones that are ending up in the ICU, and they're the ones that are passing away.
Absolutely.
I think that's saying that we had decided as a group to vaccinate those individuals, because those also are some individuals that I know I've spoken personally to on the phone that since March of last year have literally not left their homes. We're trying to improve their quality of life so they can get out and about again. And again, that's why we encourage, especially those college students, to wear their masks and to practice social distancing, because while you might not mind getting COVID, it's the senior citizens that you're around, or maybe it's your grandma that you go visit on a weekend that you can pass COVID to that could be, drastically impacted by catching COVID.
All right.
Well, and I'm not arguing at all the fact that older adults should have been tested or should have been vaccinated first. So I applaud that. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Great question. Thank you for calling. And we're going to take a break. Come back more In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.